Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? I'm Mike Sempervivi here, welcoming you to Wrestling Observer Live. We're here with you every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, and replays on Saturday here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, TuneIn, iHeart, iTunes, no matter how you're listening to us. Just want to say thank you for making Observer Live the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts show in the universe. And it's Monday, so you know what that means. Get to play the How Low Do You Think the Rating Is Going to Be This Week game, which is not exclusive to WWE because Monday Night Football has been getting this luck too. But last week there was Goldberg, and this week there's the Beast Incarnate Brock Lesnar. So much like Brian does on a Monday, I'm going to venture over to WWE's website, and they're always illuminating Raw 5-point preview, and I'll go through that and break it down, because if you're going to try to capitalize on the success that was Brock Lesnar, or Goldberg, that is, being able to hold the minimal amount of viewers you have left through all 3 hours, it's your best shot's going to be here with Brock Lesnar and with Paul Heyman, and teasing those guys throughout the broadcast. I don't know if you have Lesnar kill somebody every about, you know, 20 minutes or so, something like that. He's just walking backstage randomly for no reason, maybe getting coffee or something like that, and then like Facebook a geek through a table or something like that, or like beating up the five dudes that Braun Strowman was going to wrestle, and then that leaves Braun with an opponent, and then Sami Zayn can come out. Just thought of that off the top of my head. I bet you that will be better than anything they come up with tonight. But if you have anything that you want to come up with as well, you can give us a call. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Using the Sports Byline number today because the Boss Man is gone. And if you appreciate the Boss Man being gone, you only got one more day to do it. So call in, let me know what you think. We'll be back. Wrestling Observer Live, the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
To the people who thought I was gonna flop, y'all are part of the reason I ain't gonna stop. Against the odds, I went hard until I popped. Came from the bottom and now I'm standing on top. I had dreams and now they all coming true.
It's a new day, yes it is!
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Shame on me yesterday, me, Mike Sempervivi, your host of Wrestling Observer Live and the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, located in San Francisco, California, home of producer Dom's favorite football team, the San Francisco 49ers, who are probably the saddest team in all of the NFL, because at least if you're in Cleveland, you have the excuse of 14 quarterbacks being injured, and the fact that you are doing all of these things with the thought of sabermetrics behind it. But no, if you're in San Francisco and you're producer Dom, you're just miserable right now. So, yeah, I would invite everybody to call me, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. And when you call in, please, please offer your thoughts and condolences to producer Dom and to the San Francisco 49ers. Shame on me yesterday too. I made errors. First off, I was way too early in celebrating my Falcons, saving what I thought was turning out to be an awful fantasy football nightmare. And it was, but not only did the Falcons lose in heartbreaking fashion, killing me, the cutthroat pool I was in is now dead after 6 consecutive winning weeks. So boo to that too. And the other thing I dared to celebrate yesterday and completely screwed up on, was Impact Wrestling. I dared make the announcement that, in fact, the weekend was so quiet. It was so quiet that I could lead off the show with Bellator, but also that TNA hadn't been served any papers by anybody new. And I was wrong. So very wrong. Because as those of you who went to the WrestlingObserver.com website already know, as I will read from it, Yet another lawsuit filed against TNA was by Bank Direct Capital Finance LLC, which filed a lawsuit asking for $207,612.29, plus late charges, interest, and attorney fees, although he wrote attorney feels. All the attorney feels. Against TNA Entertainment LLC on September 29th in Circuit Court in Cook County, Illinois. On November 30th, 2015, Bank Direct entertained an agreement where it would pay TNA $400,146 so TNA could pay certain insurance premiums, and TNA agreed to make 10 monthly payments of $41,032.45, with the first payment being on November 13th, 2015. As of the time of the suit, TNA had paid nearly half, but was still $207,612.29 behind. So, here's where we stand right now with TNA and or Impact Ventures LLC lawsuits. There's Billy Corgan's lawsuit, which Anthem is looking to help bail them out of, which we talked a little bit about yesterday. There is American Express Travel Services for past due expenses or billing. There was the one that PW Insider talked about and Dave has written about in The Observer. Audience of One Productions, LLC, who TNA had used for production in Virginia. They filed suit on September 27th against Impact Ventures, Dean Broadhead, the CFO of the company, TNA minority owner Aerolux, and Ron Harris, of the Brews Brothers, and part owner in Aerolux. The lawsuit is seeking $223,000 for breach of contract, fraudulent inducement on behalf of Harris and Broadhead, torturous interference, whatever that would be, on behalf of Aerolux and the defendants for violating Virginia code. I think Aerolux has got some sort of debt outstanding thing against them, too, because they have points or whatever it is. And then the Tennessee Department of Revenue with the tax lien claiming that they're owed back taxes. So, silly me. How dare I think that the TNA could go a full day without somebody else hitting them up for money. But I will go ahead and hit up the phone lines right now and go to them. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Going to take it to Jim in Virginia. Jim, how are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Not too bad. What's happening?
All right. I want to talk about Hell in a Cell coming up Sunday.
Okay. Now, which one of the three main events that they're offering out there would you like to see actually close the show?
The women, of course.
I'm shocked by that.
That's the best one. I mean, that's what really burns me up about it. Well, I understand they're not going to close the show with the women, and they're making history. And, you know, it's the biggest thing really to happen in American women's wrestling. You know, they've had cage matches all over the world with women for years and years and years, but this is the biggest thing to happen in the United States in women's wrestling, I guess, since women's wrestling started over here.
It's up there. It certainly is up there. And really, now they're just basically, because of the attention that they're able to put on the women's division, WWE is really now playing a game of, how do we top our last thing? Or how do we top the last thing that NXT did that got a lot of attention and a lot of positive oomph behind it and everything? And there's still a lot of good faith behind Charlotte and Sasha and Becky Lynch and Bayley. Whether, you know, WWE has screwed it up or not, you can make a case that most certainly that they have. But there's still good faith from their fan base behind that. But my concern is that they are playing can you top this with people that they haven't advanced all that much since they have peaked out doing what they've been doing. And I'm not saying that it's dropped off to a, you know, irreconcilable level or anything like that, but it's just I'm somewhat bored by it. I don't think they've done a good job leading into this thing. And, you know, even on their Raw preview, the tagline is, who will gain key momentum before WWE's first women's Hell in a Cell match?
Exactly.
With that and with how those interviews went last week, I don't other than the fact that this is like TNA's lockdown and you got a bunch of cage matches, so everything's going to be in a cage. I mean, that's what this is supposed to be, the deal-making history. And in a way, I can understand where you would look at this and go, if this was after the NXT days with these two women and you built to it better, sure, you could have it be the main event. But you know what? Realistically, with what Jericho and Owens and Rollins are doing right now,
right.
I mean, that's really the main event.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
That's what I would think there, but I know you think differently.
Well, like I said, I'm all for the women just to get as far as they can, because, you know, for all those years you had to put up with the 2-minute matches and them being called divas and the pillow fights and all that junk, you know, and then we finally get them called real women wrestlers and all this good stuff, and they still won't let them be the main event at Hell in a Cell.
I got to be honest. Tori Wilson in the Pilgrim outfit on Thanksgiving was still truly a sight to behold. So, you know, there was always a little bit of a place for that. But, yeah, now I know what you mean. And that's the thing. You know, this is – and, Jim, I want to thank you very much for the call there. Trish Stratus and Lita, I actually – I would pine for the days of that, and Gail Kim, when she was there and first there and motivated and happy to be there, and she was the new thing, and Mickey James, who was just so, she'll go down as being incredibly underrated, just because, again, she'll be remembered by some of the people who saw her, but you throw out a lot of the names who have been trailblazers, and whether, you know, their in-ring deserved it or not, like Sable in China, as well as women like Trish Stratus. Trish Stratus is the greatest example of what, if you really want it bad enough and you just have something natural inside you, that she kind of ruined it for everybody with the fitness models, because she's brought in, she's, you know, doing the thing with Test and Albert to play the TNA playoff awards, and she was just a hot chick with big boobs and blonde hair, and that was it. And look what she developed into as a wrestler, where so many tried with so many, Tori and this person and that person, and to both Tories, Tori Wilson and regular, the other lady that was Tori, and all of these other women that they had, and Trish Stratus kind of just ruined it for everybody. And I guess maybe after that they thought anybody could do it. But not everybody could do it. She was special, and she is missed. And those matches with Lita and Mickey James are also missed right now, where you have Charlotte and Sasha and something that, to me, is so just not heated. But we'll be back. Got more people on hold. We'll talk to you. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervive on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. I am Mike Sempervive. Brian Alvarez not here today, out with his child on the beach. There's the theme music to Big Hero 6, my favorite Disney movie. And I don't even like Disney movies, but it's my favorite Disney movie because I had a kid. But I'm not at the beach. I live at the beach, but I'm not at the beach. I'm doing this show with you so Brian can be at the beach with his kid, who I think is now dyeing her hair. Because all of a sudden this child is as blonde as, I don't know what, as Missy Hyatt in 1986. That kind of blonde all of a sudden. So, yes, things change fast when you have kids. Kids grow up. And they dial 1-800-878-PLAY to talk to me about pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. One of those large children, Kenny in Galveston. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Mike. How are you?
Not too bad. What's on your mind?
Basically, I want to talk about Raw and just really WWE in general. And I'm really was excited over Goldberg's appearance. And obviously, they're going to do the rotation now where it's Lesnar's turn. Do you think that they will allow Lesnar to cut a promo, or will Heyman will continue to be the mouthpiece for Brock Lesnar during this time frame?
I Brock's got to say something, but obviously you need to limit it because it's not like he is a great orator. And but let me just get this out of the way too, because I drives me now. I don't know why Brian does this with the Raw 5-point preview, because when you actually read this, it's ridiculous. Here, this is the tagline tonight. This is the first story. Brock Lesnar responds to Goldberg, quote, "It's official. Goldberg has accepted Paul Heyman's challenge to come out of retirement to face Brock Lesnar in one final battle. Not merely content with letting his advocates speak on his behalf this coming Monday in Minneapolis, the Beast Incarnate comes to Raw in his hometown to deliver his response to the WCW icon. How will Lesnar change the complexion of this anticipated confrontation? Will we learn where, when and where it will take place? No matter what the Anomaly has to say, Goldberg will surely be watching." The Anomaly is how they decided to bring Brock Lesnar's name up. Like, oddity or abnormal. Anomaly, that's the best that they could come up with. No wonder why Brian reads this, just to drive himself insane and get himself fired up. But enough of that. But, yeah. I don't know. Go ahead, Kenny.
Well, anyway, another thing, too, is I know that this kind of sounds a little bit childish, but don't you think, though, that like WWE sees that where the NFL ratings are in a little bit of decline, like 10%, do you think they'll go the childish route and make hot shots at the NFL for declining ratings, especially since they're going to be in Minneapolis? Like Seth Rollins may cut a promo and chew on the Vikings for losing or all that stuff. Do you think they'll go with that route?
Nah. No, and I don't think so. Thank you very much for the call. I don't think so, because when your ratings are looking like they do right now, I wouldn't say anything. I would just concentrate on what's ahead of you. Yeah, Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens can rag on the Vikings for losing, you know, and that's why they got rid of Sam Bradford or whatever, you know, that's whatever you want to use and throw out there. Sure, you know, for cheap heel heat, I would go ahead and do that, but I don't think I'd be bringing up ratings at all with the situation that they're in, and I would just kind of concentrate on what's ahead of them. And, you know, Paul Heyman, like, again, back to a little bit earlier on, too, Paul Heyman should be cutting most of the promos for Brock Lesnar, but as this goes on, you're going to need a little more out of something out of Brock, whether it's screaming like a banshee again or throwing things around or something like that. But it obviously can't every other week be a lot of him on the mic, because is funny as the one-liners all about, like, Paul say something stupid or something like that. I mean, the longer he would be out there, there would be more chance of Brock saying something stupid. And we don't want Brock saying something stupid. We want to see him punching somebody. So I'm going to take it now to Jay in Toronto. Jay, how are you? Jay?
Hello?
Hey, what's happening?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. What's on your mind?
First of all, I just wanted to say that on behalf of those of us in Toronto, we're very, very excited to have Survivor Series or a pay-per-view of any kind back up here. It's been 10 years, so pretty pumped about that. But I wanted to talk to you about the Royal Rumble. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here. Just curious what your thoughts are in terms of trying to fill that Alamo Dome, 70,000 plus. I was thinking maybe make the Royal Rumble a 40-man this year like they did in 2011 and have some appearances or some sort of guest spots like they always do, but bring back some big-time names. I know Austin's not going to wrestle again, but for him to go in and drop a couple people with stunners and then get eliminated by somebody to sort of give them the rub maybe wouldn't be the worst booking decision in the world.
Yeah, you know, I've thought of that, and I don't know about doing 40, although I am a big proponent on, I would bring everybody back, and because I kind of was starting to think about this when they announced Brock and Goldberg. At first, it was like, okay, what is Survivor Series? Is this going to be a series of three? Is this going to be one-off? And then you start, you know, looking at, you know, 2K's involvement and things like that. And it's like, okay, well, I know why this is taking place. And I don't know if Brock, you know, or Goldberg is going to be back for one more. But if he is, you know, being involved in the Royal Rumble for, you know, it could be anywhere from seconds to minutes or something like that. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And I started thinking about, you know, again, like you were thinking, when it comes to the attendance, what can you do? And who can you bring in? And what's some of the, you know, the wacky things that you can do? And to me, it's bringing back a lot of old names. I think the tease.
Yeah, that's always my favorite part of the Rumble is every year you look forward to seeing, you know, who they're going to bring back, because they always bring somebody back. And some years it's a couple of guys, and some years it's maybe one. But it's always pretty exciting. And I mean, I think you could definitely have some appearances by guys that couldn't necessarily have a match anymore, but could definitely come in and take some bumps. And then in terms of the Rumble main event, I mean, that Shawn Michaels thing, I don't know if that's going to happen, but I could even see maybe like a Kevin Owens versus Brock Lesnar type thing for the title or something to get people in. But the only sort of concern that I would have as well then on top of that is if you bring all these guys in, you know, at the Rumble, then what happens at Mania? Because a lot of times at Mania, having these big superstar attractions and, like, bringing legends back from the past or Hall of Famers, you sort of hang your hat at WrestleMania on this, that being a big part of the draw, I think. So having them two big events apart, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they come up, because they always pull a rabbit out of their hat. So it's going to be interesting to see what they come up with anyway.
Jay, I want to thank you very, very much for the phone call, and you're right, and that is a good way to look at it. I think where you can get away with it, though, is the fact that when is a wrestling fan most at attention? When is, like, pure pro-wrest mating season anymore? It's moved from Royal Rumble into the Raw after WrestleMania, and then, you know, the malaise usually kicks in, but, like, from that point on, I mean, the way that the weekends have gone with the WrestleCon sort of weekends, and with Access and with NXT and with, you know, New Japan in that time too. You know, if you're looking at it from the Tokyo Dome on, and you have Fantasticamania, which takes place, and there's a lot of stimulation taking place for wrestling fans, and I believe that you can get away with it. You still have the Hall of Fame. You still have a lot of things that you can do on the network to drum up interest in historical pieces, if you so chose, which they should do that, more and more of that. You have guys that, again, they're utilizing more people than ever. So I think, you know, if you do roll a lot of guys out there, you can always bring back guys for the Royal Rumble, like, you know, pick a guy from the, not Mil Máscaras wouldn't be one. I don't know. But if New Japan could do the Great Kojiko, I guess why not? But, you know, guys like that, you know, Brooklyn Brawler style, they go in, they go out. And you can still have a couple of, you know, old school guys coming back, gets a big pop. You know, it's a big deal when you see him again. It's a big shock when you see him again. You know, whatever it is. And there you go. And then, of course, you know, having some guys that might be returning or something like that. I don't know, like, say Shelton Benjamin gets cleared again or something. Maybe you can bring him back, you know, at that time or do something like that. You have options there. Plus, with the NXT guys, you got options. So there's ways to fill that and still not fill up all of your historical quota for later on. But I want to take it back to the phones here real quick. 1-800-878-PLAY. Michael in Florida, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Pretty good, man. What's happening?
Hey, not much, man. First of all, I just want to say I like it when you're in the big boy chair. I don't care what anybody says, man. You do a great job.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. There's no bigger honor. Don't ever, ever let them tell you that America is not great. When you have somebody like me that gets to speak on national radio every single day about half-naked people getting busy on a canvas mat of some kind, God bless America.
Hey. That's living the dream right there. But anyway, my point of discussion, what I want to ask you, is with Hell in the Cell coming up next week on Sunday, and with Sasha and Charlotte supposedly main eventing the show, a lot of the focus on Raw right now is on Goldberg and Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. Do you think that this is an admittance from the WWE basically saying, we know that our B shows are our B shows, and do you think that they're kind of watering down the importance of something like the women main eventing in the Hell in a Cell match for, you know, essentially two part-timers that are headlining the Survivor Series, which for the last few years has been a lame duck show?
I just think when you... you know what? Saved by Travels to El Segundo. It'll give me a chance to formulate my thoughts. Thank you very much for that question. But since I hear the music, I take it a break, and I will answer that when we get back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
My wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I got to get it. I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervive on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We're back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Mr. Announcer Man had it half right. I'm Mike Sempervive here. Brian Alvarez not here, but he will be back tomorrow to go ranting and raving about what he saw tonight on Raw. And you'll have that chance as well, too, although you won't be calling the line we've been giving you all day. You'll have to listen out for the phone number tomorrow that Brian gives you for the studio line, which he will be back in. So there you go. Do want to mention, because I got stuff, head on over to HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com for all your video wrestling needs. Individual downloads and rentals are available. The monthly subscription, though, is kind of the way you want to go. $9.99 a month for over 3,000 hours of video available to you. Features live wrestling from CZW, classic episodes from Kevin Owens, sit-down interview show, The Kevin Steen Show. But one of the coolest things on there, at least for me, is the King of Old School Steve Corino stuff, where he talks to old guys that... If you're a fan of like Carl Stern's Classic Wrestling Audio Show, or you like The Observer and what Dave Meltzer has written in the past about older wrestlers, guys like Kevin Sullivan, Eric Embry, Savio Vega, Ole Anderson, Mike Jackson, Lars Anderson are not names that may be huge out there to some people that are listening to the show who are newer fans, but they have got great stories, they have got great experiences, and they have lived incredible lives. And if you're a fan of Steve Corino too, it's something to check out. If you're a kid like me who grew up in the Magnum TA era and was shocked when he got paralyzed in the car accident, I Never Quit is up there, the documentary on him where they didn't think he was going to live, and all these many years later gets to walk again. It was just an amazing thing. And kayfabecommentaries.com, which is awesome too, for all the great stuff that they do as well. So all that cool stuff there. But I don't want to leave Michael's question floating out there in the ether about are they intentionally up in WWE watering down Hell in a Cell to kind of play up the two part-timers who will be facing off a month from now at Survivor Series. And no, I don't think it's intentional. I just think that this is what they do. You should be able to focus on many important things in a fight later on down the line. I mean, it's simple promotion. You know, Top Rank is going to have a card probably this Saturday night, but that doesn't mean that they don't promote the big Manny Pacquiao fight that was signed 2 months down the road. Back in the day, Don King. Now, obviously, Mike Tyson and Julio Cesar Chavez, in an era where you actually, had to develop talent and you wanted to have guys to build up and have multiple guys on pay-per-views and things like that. Those types of crazy thoughts, but, it would be sort of the same thing. Say Chavez was fighting against, I don't know, whoever, a week from now. So you want to hype that up, but you can still hype up the other things, and they should be doing that. It's just they seem to be rudderless about where they want to go and what they want to do with the main event of this show. They announced Sasha and Charlotte. Now they're not sure if they want that. They got, the other Hell in a Cell that nobody cares about, in addition to the world title one with Jericho now being added to it. So, it's like trying to have your cake and eating it too. At some point, your taste buds get overstimulated and they get desensitized. And, WWE forgets what the recipe is and figures, well, we'll just keep throwing sugar out there. And that's what you get with these types of gimmick pay-per-views. We used to make fun of that. I remember Les Thatcher and Mike Mooneyham, Rich Tate, and I used to do the Georgia Wrestling History Ringside Rap Show. And we kind of laugh about what TNA was doing and how WWE doesn't make those types of stupid mistakes. They don't have, yes, they have storyline gaps and things like that, but they don't make the same mistakes that TNA does. They don't make the same production mistakes and miss shots and do this and do that that TNA does. They don't have themed pay-per-views and back themselves into a corner and paint themselves into the corner like TNA does. And then they do it so many times. It's the CM Punk Ryback thing, and you have this and you have that, where a stipulation has bound you up. and this is the same sort of situation and same sort of scenario. And plus, when that's not working in concert with something cohesive that you have going on, I mean, you know, Charlotte and Sasha is a story that's been told a million times. I'll lament that. But, you know, there's still all things you could have done with it or ways that you would be getting us excited for this, you know. But it seems like all the effort has been put into, you know, even less of Goldberg and Lesnar, because there's no thought you have to put into that. You showed it last week with you hand Goldberg a mic. He comes out there, people chant, they go crazy. They have all these warm, fuzzy thoughts about when they would watch wrestling, when wrestling was awesome. And I talked to some people this week that I swear to God, they are ESPN types. They're sports fans, but they were wrestling fans for like the slightest bit. Like they know who Hulk Hogan is. They know who Sergeant Slaughter is. Like they know those names, but they were never fans, like, you know, would be listening to this show and everything. And they've lost their goddamn minds over Goldberg coming back. Now, I know that's not going to last. And in those people, they may buy the game for their kid for Christmas because of this. That I'll give it. But they're not going to, you know, invest in the WWE Network or anything like that. I would seriously doubt that that's the case. But, again, it doesn't take much thought to do that. It takes a little more thought to do what's on the rest of the show. And they haven't been doing that. They've done it with the main event. And I think Jericho and Owens have owned that. They've done some good interplay with some other things, but it hasn't been the best, and I don't think it's intentional. I just think they're not any good at it, and that's too bad. And before we take it back to the phones, I didn't get a chance to mention this yesterday. And feel free to call 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Remember, pass your condolences on to Dom for the 49ers or the San Francisco Giants for the way their season ended. But the passing of Gene Gagne. This weekend, because I have my expansive Latino package back through Xfinity, I get to watch World Wrestling Council again on WAPA America. And on this weekend's WWEC show, that's aired over the air in Puerto Rico and then simulcast on WAPA America here in the mainland on both Saturday and Sunday is where they do. It's kind of old school, you know, because they'll have shows on Saturday night and on Sunday, and they will adjust accordingly with voiceovers. Now, this is not high-tech stuff or anything like that. It's no IWRG. You know, at least the whole show is usually on there, and there's no weird blocks out and things like that where weird things happen. It's just, you know, the overlays can be sometimes a little difficult to listen to, or may sound a little bit garbled or something like that. It would kill Brian to listen to that stuff as a audio practitioner, the level he is at. But it's so cool because it's what used to happen back in the day. If there was a show in Baltimore on Saturday night, and we watched the show on Saturday morning, Worldwide Wrestling came on, and then the next day we got NWA Mid-Atlantic. They would have a new set of interviews and a new set of stuff that would go over that. They didn't mess with that stuff. You had to believe they wanted it to be linear, and it made sense. So it's kind of a throwback to that. But in any event, it opened up with a little still photo tribute of the guy who they knew as Pierre Martel, and they had a little quick clip of him in there against Kamala. And in the United States, he earned far more notoriety under the name Frenchie Martin, and he was the monocled manager of Dino Bravo during the WWF's post-WrestleMania boom period from 1986 to 89, where he would carry around a sign that stated that the USA is not okay. And his career, though, actually dated back to 1971, where he actually trained under Stu Hart in Calgary. So it kind of would help him for I would assume, later on down the road, having to wrestle in Puerto Rico. But after he survived the dungeon, he did wrestle in Stampede, obviously, as well as the famous Montreal International Wrestling Group and throughout Eastern Canada and in the Maritimes and all that. And you know, when international wrestling finally had to give up the ghost in their battle to try to fend off the WWF coming into Montreal and hold on to it when they were already in Toronto and everything was kind of closing in on them. And Montreal really had and here's one I hope that Sean Oliver does for Kayfabe Commentaries, talks to Jimmy Garvin or talks to somebody about Montreal in 1985, because they had some awesome stuff that was actually going on up there, including Jimmy and Ronnie Garvin in a feud with the Rougeaus, that was something else. And they still had groups like the Road Warriors would go in and out of there. against, you know, Dino Bravo and Haku, who was King Tonga at that time. But, I mean, there was some awesome stuff kind of taking place there. But when they just couldn't do it anymore, Frenchie Martin was one of a number of guys who entered into WWE, including Rick Martel and Tonga and the Rougeaus and Tom Zank and Joe Ledoux and, you know, guys who had that connection, obviously, with Pat Patterson, who was the big wheel. George Scott was out at that time, and it was just Pat Patterson throughout that whole era, at least leading the charge. And, you know, one of the biggest influences coming out of that in hindsight was actually WWF adopting the International Wrestling Superstars of Wrestling name that their TV show had been known as, and took it, and that's what Championship Wrestling ended up turning into, and it's something that lasted for years and years and years. But Frenchie Martin's, you know, biggest successes took place in Puerto Rico, which is why they did have that little tribute for him today. And I hope WWE does make a mention of him tonight, too. It would only be nice. You don't have to make a big production out of it or anything. But that famous team that he had with Mad Dog Martel, who's the shoot brother of Rick Martel, who actually passed away very young age from a heart attack. I think he was like 32, 33 in 1978. You know, he ended up becoming a big star there and ended up having a feud with the Invader, turned babyface, as everybody does later in their career usually, and became a little bit of a beloved star, but passed away on Friday of bladder and bone cancer. So we'll see if WWE mentions that tonight. But want to take it back to the phones right now, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. If you want to get a hold of me, do so on Twitter as well, too, at Semper Vivi, including a lot of people calling out their teams as well, if in sad states and scenarios, the Bears being one of them right now. Yeah, that's a sad face there. That's for sure. Try being a Rams fan. Yeah, that's kind of true too. I hate Jeff Fisher as a coach. No offense to Jeff Fisher or anything. Just it's amazing he's still got a job. But in any event, John in Arkansas, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mike, and yes, being that I'm in Arkansas, I've also seen my fair share of things of where you fall flat on your face after some decent particular runs, and then you just kind of die on the vine. But on to happier things. I was thinking about some of the last questions that were posed, and it does seem like at times they tend to lose their focus on the build aspect leading into things. And I think that's one of the deals that's taken both casual and hardcore fans out of the mix of being excited for every show, is because the build aspect isn't there. Things don't seem like there's something important. And the focus doesn't seem like it's there. It seems like there's too many distractions of whether it be doing the charity things and all this, that, and the other, which is fine and dandy. But you have to concentrate on the reason why people bought tickets to come to the show, which is to see the event itself and make that event special. And I think they're starting to run out of these older attraction guys that they can bring in for this quick little boost. And the minute we don't have any more of those guys, what are you going to do then? I think it's John. Time that they also start doing a little cross-promotion with some of the other groups out there.
John, I know we're pushed up against the break here. I want to thank you very much for the call. I guess we could see that latter part of that you know, is a topic for a different day. But when it comes to – they always need some gaga and some BS and some people brought back from the past, but – you know, it's a lot easier when your main product is putting 15,000 to 20,000 people in arenas legit, and they're not being all tarped off and everything. Then that's when that gaga and that BS and all that stuff, it makes it a lot easier to fill up an Alamo Dome. You know what I mean? At better prices than it would be with what they have kind of are looking at right now. So, you know, you're right. You know, how many more guys can they bring back where it means something? You know, Bobby Lashley didn't mean a whole lot. There's other guys from TNA. If they came in, what would they really mean, you know, to move that needle? They are running out of those guys. An amount of time in this segment. We'll be back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We're back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. I'm getting yelled at by producer Dom. We're here 7 days a week, live for six of them, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern, noon and 5 Pacific, 8 and 1 a.m. in the U.K. Saturday is normally a replay day for us, although we will surprise you sometimes. Occasionally we come on 1 p.m. Eastern time and are repeated again at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, 1 a.m. British Standard Time. Then the mothership, Sundays, 6 p.m., sometimes until 8, but mostly just until 7. It's 3 p.m. Pacific, 11 British Standard Time. Monday morning replays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, 4 in the Kingdom. There's never a time where you cannot listen in and check out Wrestling Observer Live. If you're really missing us, you don't have to be listening at one of those times. Go to our website, download the show. Go to sportsbyline.com, go in their archives and get the show. And listen in and remember this moment to where producer Dom lost his mind with me and cursed me out for daring to bring up the failures that are the San Francisco 49ers and San Francisco Giants this year without having the ability to fire back on the air about the Nationals or any of these other things he'd like to say. Thank you, producer Dom. And thanks everybody who called, especially the new people and everybody who listened in as well. Don't worry, everybody. Brian will be back tomorrow. He'll save the day for you. I'm Mike Sempervivi. That was Wrestling Observer Live, and this is the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. See ya.